You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? If not, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so, be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
We're going to pick up where we left off last week, and we're going to kind of go a little bit deeper into some of the things that God has challenged us to do that pertains to our walk before the foundation of the world. In other words, the good works God ordained that we should walk in. And we'll look at that in just a minute. I'm going to give you a heads up. Turn over to Psalms 23, 23rd Psalms. And I just want you to sit there for a minute on the 23rd Psalms. And we'll open with prayer and we'll get started with today's lesson. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you again for this morning and this time of fellowship and worship. We do thank you for the Word now as we study it, that it might open up to us, that our spirits might be yielded to it, the teaching of your Spirit, leading us into the things of Christ, teaching us the truth of him, and the calling that we have in him in the heavenlies far above. We do pray, Father, that we do see that distinction, that we rightly divide the Scriptures in a way that finds approval in your sight, that we not be ashamed. We do pray, Father, that the one who is glorified here is the one in whom the Scriptures talk about, your Son and our Savior. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we've been talking about walking. We talked last week about walking worthy of the calling to which you've been called. And we're going to continue that subject matter because walking is very important. In fact, I think it's probably America's favorite pastime. I don't know, baseball may be a close second. But walking, you look and people are walking everywhere. They're walking in the streets, they're walking their dogs, they're walking with their neighbors, they're walking in the malls, they're walking out by the lake. And walking is good for you. Walking is something you should do. Walking can improve your health. Walking can give you some fitness that maybe you don't have. Walking can help you lose body fat and maintain a healthy weight. It can improve your fitness and reduce your risk of developing conditions such as heart disease, type 2 diabetes, osteoporosis, and some cancers. To get the health benefits, you ought to walk at least 30 minutes a day as briskly as you can most days of the week. Walking is good for you. And I think walking through the Bible is good for you. There's going to be a day when you're going to, as you see in Psalms 23, it says, verse 4, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, that's an interesting phrase there. But walking is always a part of God's calling. Some people say, well, I took a stand for Jesus and they got stuck. They didn't keep moving forward. God wants us to move forward. Come over to Proverbs. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 9. Look at verse 9. It says, he that walks how? Uprightly. Now, that word uprightly means to walk in righteousness, and the only one who can tell us and show us the true and righteous way is God himself. And he has been revealed to us by his Son. So, he that walks uprightly walks as surely. But he that perverts his ways shall be known. God wants us to walk in His way. He wants us to walk uprightly. And there are some reasons to walk uprightly as we walk through the Bible. One of the reasons might be that the Bible is the most popular and most well-bought or the highest-selling book in the world. Guinness Book of World Records has declared that the Bible is the best-selling book in all the world. If you'll walk in it, you'll begin to find out that many of the historical things about the Bible are fact and not fiction. A lot of people today think that the Bible is a bunch of fiction. You'll even find out that Jesus was a real person. Oh my! You know, some historians have written about him that knew at that time that he lived. Josephus is one. Yeah, Josephus. Tacitus is another historian who has talked about Jesus. You'll even find that the Bible will change your life. The Bible will change your life. It's changed a lot of people's lives. People who have been rescued from drugs will tell you that the Bible changed their life. People have been rescued from depression by reading the Bible. People have been rescued from shoplifting. People have been rescued from low self-esteem. They've been rescued from a life of violence, even. They've even been rescued from a homosexual lifestyle. People have been rescued from overwhelming darkness in their life. And they've even been rescued from trying to find meaning in life in Denver, Colorado, by reading the Bible. That's true. People have been rescued from the darkest, most hopeless situations in life by reading the Bible. I think that's why the Gideons put Bibles in places where people go to do their put an end to their life. And if you remember, Mac always told us that when he really turned around, he was down by the bayou in Louisiana, and he remembered when he was getting ready to even end his own life. He remembered the Scripture that a Sunday school teacher taught him. And it changed his life. The Bible will change your life. We're to walk in the Bible. Look at chapter, are you there in Proverbs? Go to chapter 13. Oh, I'm in chapter 12. Verse 20. Gosh, I kept looking in chapter 12 and I couldn't find it. It's not there. Chapter 20. Verse 13, chapter 20. It says, "He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." We're to walk in wisdom. That's what that's talking about. We're to walk not only in wisdom, but we're to associate with people who walk in wisdom. Now, what kind of people walk in wisdom? People who walk in the Bible. Walk in wisdom. Go over to chapter 28. And look at verse 6. "Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his way, though he be rich." Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness. It doesn't matter what station in life you're in or what condition you're in, to walk uprightly is always honorable. Look at verse 26. "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walks wisely, he shall be delivered." If you walk uprightly, if you walk wisely, guess what you're not walking as? The fool. You're not walking as a fool. That's what that verse tells us. So come over to Ephesians chapter 4. We began this last week. We started looking at, and this is another segment in our lessons that have to do with before the foundation. Before the foundation, God called us. We learned that in Ephesians chapter 1. We've been chosen in God before the overthrow or the foundation of the world. What for? We ask the question, why did God put us in flesh and blood? Why are we here? And we're starting to learn and find out some of the reasons why we're here. Chapter 4, verse 1, Paul, and I'm just going to point out some of the things from the last time. Paul begins by saying, "I therefore the prisoner of the Lord." This is a fascinating thought because we know in chapter 3, verse 1, he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. You remember the distinction that we drew between those two? One is our relationship with God through Christ in the heavenlies far above. The other is as Lord in our practical walk. Chapters 1 through 3 deal with doctrine and deal with our calling in the heavenlies. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 in Ephesians, as we break it down and walk through Ephesians, we see that those chapters do deal with our practical aspects of our life. And the Lord, in our relationship to Him being the Lord, is how are we obeying Him? Well, look at Luke. Go to Luke chapter 4, chapter 6. Hold your hand there. We're going to come back to it. But look at Luke chapter 6, verse 46. He begins the parable of two builders. One who built on sand and one who built on rock. But he begins the parable with this statement. And you can draw the conclusion. It's not hard. He says, "Why call ye me Lord? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" You see that relationship? And then he begins to liken those who hear the Word of God but don't do the Word of God as a man who built his house on sand, and then the man who hears the Word of God and does the Word of God is a man who built his house on a rock. Come on back to Ephesians. He says in verse 1 of chapter 4, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord." Paul had no other recourse. He was a prisoner of the Lord to do the things that the Lord had asked him. And so because of that, he says, "I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation to which you're called." We talked about that worthy call, the calling of the worthy. We are to walk worthy of that calling. And we saw in Philippians, we're to walk worthy of the gospel. And we saw in Colossians, we're to walk worthy of the Lord. That word worthy means to be balanced. And the things that are on the left side of the balance are the things that deal with the heavenly calling, the blessings in the heavenlies, the riches of Christ, and the glory of Christ. And we're to set our affection on those things that are above in glory, where we'll see Him and be with Him. Those things are to be balanced in the scales with the things of that evidence that exhibit it and show it. That's what this walk is all about. And that word walk, we talked about it. It's that word peripateo. It means everywhere you go. And whatever you're doing, it's not just to walk good and wholesome and upright. It's to walk according to what God has called you to. And the word walk appears 7 times in this scripture, this book of Ephesians. Let's look at the first one, chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to look at all 7 because it's very interesting that there are 3 in front of the scripture we read this morning and 3 behind it. The 3 in front have a really unique position, especially these first 2, because 2 is the number of what? Witness. In chapter 2, we see the walk that we used to have, and we all had this walk. Verse 1, you hath He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which in times past you walked. You walked in those trespasses and sins. And you were dead in those trespasses and sins. Now listen to me. If you are born once, you die twice. You're already dead, and you're going to die again. But if you're born twice, you only die once. Go to John chapter 5. Go to John chapter 5. Verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," that should be the condition, that should be the position, that should be the standing of everyone that's in here today. You believe on Him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from what? Death into life. "And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." If you're born once, you'll die twice. You'll die physically, you'll die spiritually. It's given unto man to die once and then to judgment. Hey, if you're born twice, you have the confidence of what God has said in His Word, that you'll only die once. Born twice, die once. Born once, die twice. Come on back to Ephesians. It's an amazing situation here that we all once one time. But what changed that? Verse 4 of chapter 2. God changed that. God can change lives. Should be part of our message. God changed our life. I mean, we've got that as a record, a witness, a testimony that we can tell the world, or at least maybe our next door neighbor. Chapter 2, verse 4, "But God who is rich in mercy." That's the only reason. That is the love of God. It says, "God who is rich in mercy for His great love with which He loved us." How great was God's love? we could measure it by John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We saw a movie the other night called Casablanca. Everybody that's seen that movie knows it's a story of love and intrigue. And there's this tremendous love relationship between Rick and Ilsa, who were played by Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman. At the end of it, you see this great love come through in Rick. Rick has lived his life for himself. "I care about no one," I think is one of the famous quotes in there. "I care about no one but myself." Or, "I look out for no one but for me. I'm number one and that's all I care about." But at the end, you know what he did? He gave the letters of transit up and he let Victor and Ilsa get on the plane and they flew off because he loved her so much he didn't care about himself anymore. He finally found that great love. He said, "I love more." Love is always about the object. Love is not about me. If it's about me, then it's I love myself. I don't love anyone else. But love is always about the object. God loved the world so much He gave His only begotten Son. That's how much God loves. But God in mercy, verse 4, because we were dead in our sins and trespasses, God who is rich in mercy and His great love with which He loved us, even when, verse 5, dead in sins, made us alive. We are truly living. We are living people. You know, it says that some people are so busy making a living, they don't know how to live. It's true about Christians, too, I think. I think we need to be busy about learning how to live. I was walking through a house the other day, and you know, I appraise homes for a business, and that's my living. But I'm walking through, and I notice on the house, and it caught my attention because I've seen this, I don't know how many times, hundreds of times, I've seen this live, laugh, love. You seen that? Think how somebody made a bunch of money printing those things up on wood and painting them, and people bought them, and it's never a guy. I've never seen a guy buy that. I can guarantee you, a guy's never bought it. It's always a wife. It's always a wife or a girl. Girls want, "I want to live, I want to laugh, I want to love." She must have kids. So she doesn't have a life. But that is the desire. That's what everybody wants. And we of all people ought to live life in its fullest, with the greatest joy. We shouldn't get down and bothered by what's going on. My goodness, we're just passing through. This isn't our home, our homeland, our citizenship, if we believe what God has taught us, is in the heavenlies far above. We've got a mission down here, we've got a journey, and we've got to have joy while we do it. This is what God's called us to do. The second time that we see the word walk is the one that is really good because it compares the first one with the second one. Look at this, verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship, God's workmanship in Christ Jesus, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God before ordained we should walk in them. Now, did He before ordain that yesterday? Last week? No, before the foundation, when God chose us in Him. When God chose us in His beloved, we were then predestined to walk in good works. These are the good things that God... doesn't matter what degree it is. You don't have to get up and talk in front of 5,000 people, 500 people, or 5 people. You just walk. You can talk in front of a 5-year-old. Isn't that right? You can talk in front of a 5-year-old and just tell them how glorious it is that God has done. He made that full moon we saw last night. You know, He made this hot summer. I don't know why, but He did it for His purpose and His glory. He says He does everything for His glory according to His purposes. And He gave us that rain this last week. You could walk and talk in front of a 5-year-old about the goodness of God until they begin to study and read the Scriptures and learn about all the stories about how good God is. So we walk once in our sins and trespasses, and now we've got good works. God called us to good works. And then the third time we see the word walk is in our passage in chapter 4, verse 1. We're to walk worthy now of this calling that we've been called to. Well, how do we walk worthy? Well, He says in verse 2, we're to walk with lowliness and meekness. We're to walk with long-suffering. And we're to forbear one another in love. Lowliness is humility. Meekness is with confidence that no matter what happens, what comes against us, God is in charge. And we're to be long-suffering. We have to be long-suffering. We have to live with one another. And sometimes we can't live with one another, so it says forbear one another. That means walk apart when it comes to things and issues that cause problems and strife. Don't do that. The only thing we can do that is if we esteem others better than ourselves. We see a picture of this over in Philippians chapter 2. It says in chapter 2, verse 3 of Philippians, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Nothing. Now, if there's nothing I love more than myself, I'm going to have a lot of strife and vainglory. But if there's someone I love more than myself, all that I won't even bother with. I don't want to because I love them. So it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. And then let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ. Remember the acronym for joy? Jesus first, others second. And you should be last. It's not you third. I mean, there may be a lot of things between second and last, but you last in life. But that's how we're supposed to walk. Come on back to Ephesians. And those first three are important. The first two are in the doctrinal part. The third one, the one we just looked at in Ephesians chapter 4, how we're to walk worthy. I like the third verse there in chapter 4. It says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. It's not a unity we've created. It's one God's created. We're to maintain that unity. That begins our practical walk. Teaches us how to live with one another. And then just in case we have a propensity to wander. Remember that song, Prone to Wander? Prone to leave the one I love? We have that propensity. It says in chapter 4, verse 17 in our scripture today, this I say therefore, and testify in what? In who? The Lord. Remember that personal relationship, that special relationship. He's master. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do the things that I say? Are you building your house on sand? Or are you building your house on rocks? He says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. There's the other one. That's the fourth one. Fourth one of the seven. We're not to walk as Gentiles walk. Gentiles walk badly. We used to walk as Gentiles walk. We're not to walk as them. We're to walk in a way that's worthy of the calling that we've been called to. Don't walk as Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. We read this morning in Ecclesiastes. Chris, remember, vanity of vanities? He says, I gave myself over to do all the things I wanted to do. Who was that? Solomon, the wisest man in the world. But there's all vanity. And that's what these Gentiles are walking in, the vanity of their mind. I ran into someone the other day, and I asked what church they went to, and they go to a Unitarian church. Oh, well, what's that all about? Well, they just teach whatever you believe is fine. You want to believe in Hinduism? You can believe in Hinduism. You want to believe in Buddhism? You can still worship with us. You want to believe in Christianity? You can worship. If you want to be an atheist or an agnostic and believe that way, you can worship with us. Think about that. All right. When you go, you check your brain at the door. Because no brain's allowed in here. Because what's truth? Oh, remember in the Truth Project? Remember in the Truth Project, the woman? And she sits there and she's a pastor in a Unitarian church. And those stained glass windows are behind her. And she's just talking about how, see, truth is this great light. And it comes down and it goes, and it's reflected in this prism, and it shows all different kinds of colors and hues, and that's truth. It's whatever you want it to be. The vanity of their mind, they have replaced God with themselves. That's what they've done. Verse 8, teen, having the understanding darkened. Check your brain at the door. We don't need any understanding here. We don't want anybody who's going to think that 2 plus 2 is 4 because someone over here said it was 7. And if they want to say it's 7, then it's 7. It's good for them. Don't worry about their worship. We just all worship together. But this, let me show you go to Romans chapter 1. There's a passage here that deals with this vanity and this darkening of the mind. And Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Kind of a parallel passage. Romans 1, 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Vanity, isn't it? Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. See that? They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Come on back to Ephesians. There's more there, but that's enough to whet your appetite if you want to do any studies on your own. Vain, it says, the vanity of their mind in verse 17, verse 18, having the understanding darkened and alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. God has given us life, and this life is in His Son, 1 John chapter 5. And he who has a Son has a life. It's internal life. It's eternal. It's Zoe life that he talks about here, but it's eternal life. It's the everlasting life that God has given us. And so in chapter 5, we see the fifth time we see the word walk. He says that in verse 2, walk in love. Walk in love. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. So we don't have a blank check walking in love. We don't have, well, I'll just walk any old way I want to. You know, I just know how to love. I love the way I like to love. No, we walk in love the way Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? Well, it says, He's given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling savor. You want to be a sweet-smelling savor? Then esteem others better than yourselves. Don't put yourself first, put yourself last. And don't worry about getting any credit for doing that, because God doesn't really care about that. You'd just be a Pharisee sitting on the street corner. Look at me. I fast and I tithe and I'm out here just, oh boy. Now, God doesn't honor that. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 15. This is how Jesus loved us. John chapter 15. Verse 13. Yeah. John 15, 13. Greater love hath no man, no greater than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's a challenge, isn't it? God ordained before the foundation of the world. This is part of what we should walk in, that we're to walk, come back to Ephesians, we're to walk in love as Christ loved us. Christ is our example and our picture. And just in case you don't get it, he says, okay, now that's how you're supposed to walk, and here's how you're not supposed to walk. Chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this we know, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. You know, God has raised us, and the word He uses in Colossians is He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. But nobody practicing these things is going to have any part in the kingdom of Christ. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. But because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Those who are part of the devil's crowd, they don't want you to know about this. They don't want you to follow it. In verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with them, the sons of disobedience. Don't partake with them. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now are you light. You're light in the world. You're the light of the Lord. You're to walk as children of light. And when we get that mindset that we understand what God has called us to, that heavenly calling above, there's a lot of boldness comes out of that. Got a couple of verses that help us understand it. Go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Verse 4. In Him was life. Remember John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 4 here it says, in him was life. And the life was what? That's our light. The light of men. That's our light. Verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness. Don't be worried about shining in the darkness. Don't worry about coming up against people who say, oh, you can just believe whatever you want. Try not to laugh. Try not to just scoff in their face, you know, when they're that mindless. And that's what it is. They're just mindless when they start saying anybody can believe anything they want. Well, let's just chuck truth at the door. We don't have it. The light shines in the darkness, but guess what? The darkness overcame it not. You know, it's hard, do you remember the story about a guy named Roy Riggles? Everybody remember Wrong Way Roy? 1929, the California Golden Bears were playing the Yellow Jackets, Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets, and it was in the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. And about midway through the second quarter, old Jack Stumpy Thomason, he dropped the ball for the Yellow Jackets, and Riggles picked the ball up. Riggles picked the ball up. He got hit and he got turned around and he was running towards the goal line, and everybody's yelling at him, stop, stop. But he was just running, man. He was running. He was running the wrong way. He didn't know it. He got hit and turned around and he just kept running. His legs were turning, man. He was fighting and he was going. And finally the quarterback, Lum, caught up with him about the three-yard line and tried to tackle him. And the Yellow Jackets hit over Roy and they all fell down on the one-yard line. Well, they decided, the Golden Bears decided they weren't going to try any plays. They were going to kick the ball right then. And so they kicked the ball. It got blocked, and they got two-point conversion. What do you call that? Safety. Thank you. Safety. I know the signal on him. And so, boy, Roy went in at halftime. He was so depressed. It wasn't his fault. He's just ignorant. He got bumped around. It wasn't his fault. He was doing what he'd been taught to do, and he couldn't help it. You know what the coach told him? Right, let me tell you what he told the coach. He said, Coach, I can't do it. I can't go back out there. I've ruined you. I've ruined myself. I've ruined the university. I can't go out there and face that crowd. And the coach got up and he says, Roy, you get up and you go back out there. The game's only half over. You think about that. The game's only half over. What a great thing to say. Later in life, a kid who caught a ball, let's see, this was from a Paramount High School kid named Jan Bandringa in 1957. He intercepted a pass only to run it 55 yards into his own end zone, resulting in a safety for Centennial High, who won the game 9-7. It was that safety that cost this young kid his team. And he wrote Roy a letter. He wrote Roy Riggles a letter. And here's what Roy wrote back. He said, listen, son, for many years I've had to go along. I've had to laugh whenever my wrong way run was brought up. Even though I've grown tired of listening and reading about it. But it certainly wasn't the most serious thing in the world. I regretted doing it, even as you regret what you did. But one day, you'll get over it. It happens. It happens. But we're not to walk like these people walk. We're to walk in love and we're to walk in light. And not only that, it says if you're there in Ephesians chapter 5, we're to walk in wisdom. Walk circumspectly. Verse 15. We're to walk in wisdom. Kind of like that coach that told Roy. He said, Roy, the game's only half over. You get up and you get back out. He got back out there and he played a superior game. He is now in the California Golden Bears Hall of Fame. He's in the Pac-10 Hall. He's in the Rose Bowl Hall of Fame because he played such a great game. But that one wrong way run goes down as one of the six most memorable college plays. And there's old Roy. He's still laughing. He's still going along with it. That's got to be tough. You know what? That's got to be tough. Maybe that coach and what he had to say was that bit of light. It's only half over, Roy. Let's get out there and let's play. We're to walk in wisdom. That's what verse 15 says. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walk in wisdom. That word, circumspectly, that's a neat word if you want to do a Greek study. Do it on that word. It's a word that means precisely. It means accurately. We're to walk accurately. We're to walk like we're going up a hill and a mountain, and we're to walk carefully, not to step in holes or on rocks that aren't there that'll give way and cause us to fall. A picture of this word's over in Acts chapter 18. You'll know this. You'll remember this moment when Priscilla and Aquila were teaching the young man Apollos. They were there, I think they were at Ephesus. Yeah, verse 24, Acts 18:24. It says, a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus, and this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. That's that word, circumspectly, more accurately, more precisely. It's a wonderful picture of what we're supposed to do. That's how we're supposed to do it. We're to walk. So what you have here after you get past walking as other Gentiles is you have the three ways we're supposed to walk. We're to walk in love, as Christ loved us sacrificially. We're to walk in light. We're children of light. The light that we have is a light that God has given us. We're to be happy with it, to be joyful, to be thankful, giving of thanks always for every occasion and situation God brings us in. And then we're to walk circumspectly. Now, how do I do that? How do you do it?
I don't just do it.
No, we don't just do it. How do we do it? We study this book. See, we let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. Go over to Colossians chapter 2. I'll quit with this. I've got two things I want to show you out of this passage. Verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. See our word there? See our special word? What word is that? It's the word walk. Walk ye in Him. Now, every walk begins with one step. It begins with the first step. It may be a journey of 1,000 miles or 1,000 yards or 1,000 feet. But it always begins with one step, and that first step is faith in Christ. You remember, faith is what? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing what? The Word of God. That's how our faith grows. We study this Word. And notice it says in verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye with Him? No. In Him. In Him. You know what that tells me? Boundaries. We have boundaries. He is our boundary. That we don't have any other boundary. We don't want to get outside of our boundaries. It says, walk in Him. He is our boundary. And you might think, oh my gosh, I can't be hedged in. I mean, I've got to be me. I've had someone tell me that in their life. They said, I've got to be me. And I thought, that's the worst person in the world you want to be. We're to keep that person under subjection. We're to keep that person in check. We're to walk in Christ. I don't mind being hedged in with Him. It'd be like I'm a minnow and I've got the whole Atlantic Ocean to figure out. I mean, that's walking in Him. Isn't that true? Look verse 2. It says in verse 3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's like a minnow in the Atlantic Ocean. I love those boundaries. That's what Christ is like. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's where we're supposed to be. And that's how you do it. You do it by walking in this Word. Those good works that God wants us to walk in, this is how we walk in them. By following the Word and staying in the Word and studying the Word. This was something that was given to us before the foundation of the world. He says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained. Not when you became a Christian, not when you were saved, but when He chose you before the foundation, He chose you in Christ. and he laid out good works. Let's get out there and let's walk in them. Father God, we do thank you as you encourage us through your scriptures to accomplish that which you have laid before us, and the uniqueness of the calling that you've given to us, Father. It's so special, and it has such a wide variety of applications for us as we walk in whatever relationship we're in, whether it's as we get on through the study of the rest of the practical aspects of life. We see husbands and wives. We see children and parents. We see servants and masters, and even one another. So we thank you for the vastness of your wisdom. We pray that we not shy away from it or that we ignore it. We don't want to walk in the vanity of our own minds. We don't want to be running the wrong way when we're supposed to be running for a touchdown. We just pray, Father, that while all that we do, glorify your Son. And we pray this in his name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.